just wait as the last people find their seats. It's great to see you all here this morning. Why don't we, while the last people are trickling in, let's stand up and let's greet our neighbors. Sorry, you just sat down. Now you gotta get up. Hi, good morning. Good morning and welcome here again. I enjoyed that collective groan as I told you all to stand up again. So let's turn in our bulletins to the back and let's do the call to worship together. I see you, familiar faces, visitors, and guests. What brings you here? I see you, all who are here for the first time, and all who have returned. What brings you here? I see you and know that each one of you has been invited by God to this house of worship. Thank you for coming. Open your eyes and your hearts, for together we are here with Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Am I going to get a groan if I ask you to stand for our first song?
Just as as you are before your God. Come. Willingly we choose to surrender our lives, willingly our needs we bow. With all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose you now. The time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you want to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
You may be seated. For those of you that needed permission, James.
I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will live a new life. I have come to bring you the truth. I have come to bring you life. If you believe, then you will live. I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will live a new life. In my word you all shall come to know. It is love that makes the Spirit grow. If you believe, then you will live. I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will live a new life. Keep in mind the that I have said. Remember me in the breaking of the bread. If you believe, then you will live. I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me will live, will live a new life.
Are there any guests that would like to be introduced, or someone introduce them this morning? Yes. All right, welcome here, Roland. Nice to see you this morning. Is there anyone else? Oh, yeah.
For
Can you hear me? For Mother's Day this year, Family Day, we're thinking of doing something a little bit different. And what we'd like to do is invite people in the congregation who have a story or a thank you or some tribute to either their mother or another family member to share that on Mother's Day. Calling it Family Day, but it is Mother's Day. So if you have a story that you'd like to share or a tribute or something, please let either Shauna, Zacharias, or myself know. And either we would invite you to read that on Mother's Day, or we will have somebody else do so on your behalf. So if you want to write it up and have us say it for you, or if you want to say it yourself. So we're trying to do something a little bit different for Mother's Day this year. Thank you.
Does anyone else have an announcement they'd like to highlight or share? Yes, Leonore.
Leonore, is it on? Okay, Leonore Weeb here. I would like to share with you and ask your prayer support for my brother John Fast. He has been diagnosed with bone cancer from the spine, from the bottom of his spine to his neck, and it doesn't sound good. We don't know any prognosis and we don't know treatment yet, but they're working on it.
Thank you for sharing that. Does anyone else have an announcement? Sure.
We may have to put another railing up on this side if I'm going to come up here, but that's okay.
You'll be better in June.
Yeah. On behalf of entire council and all the workers there yesterday, Lainey and I would like to say thank you to everybody who came out and donated and ate and ate and ate.
And worked and worked and worked.
We have collected $9,345 to this point, and there's always more money that comes in on the following Sundays. Our expenses are approximately $1,500, so that comes off. What we have done is we have purchased a new freezer for the basement so that we have some place to put our stuff when we have a function, when we're coming in. It's a little bit bigger than the other one. The old one has gone into another room, and that's where Harvest is storing their stuff between harvest days.
Yeah.
And we have also, as a council, decided that we are going to donate or give $3,000 to our historical committee, because they are going to be starting to put up things from the old church on Devon and different pictures and things around the church. Most of it will be going into the large room over in the fellowship room at the upstairs here, but we are giving them money so that they can work with it. So we're not going to have as big an income from this to spend, but we're doing something good with it.
And just also want to thank everybody who came out to help. I know there were a lot of volunteers, and some of us stood around for a little while and didn't know what to do because everybody worked so fast. And yes, we were a little late in starting because some of us didn't know that it took forever for water to boil. But, you know, it's a learning experience, and there were certainly a lot more folks than we normally have had for a long time. So some of you who didn't get mashed potatoes, we're sorry, but we'll make sure that next year we'll do, you know, 100 or 120 pounds of potato instead of 80. Just to say thanks again, it was really appreciated, and I know it's always a really great time for fellowship. And also, just on a personal note, I am leaving tomorrow for New Zealand. I'll be gone for 7 weeks, and I'm looking forward to a wonderful time with my son and my grandson, and hope for a safe journey back, and look forward to seeing you all in the spring.
That's great. It sounds like it was a really good good turnout yesterday. I'd like to just highlight...
Hi, it's Ed Redekop here. I don't know if Charles Leitch is here or not, we received a phone call yesterday, and I guess when Adina answered the phone, she was in kind of a shock, so she don't know who it is that phoned. You do? Oh, okay, now she remembers. Anyways, my cousin, Peter Schindel, who is related to the Johann and I forget my Oma's name, Redekop. He was a nephew of theirs, grandson of theirs, but he has passed away. So it's just a little part of the church history where another member from a long time ago has departed.
Condolences to you and the family. I did leave time for sharing later on in the service, but if anyone else wants to share now, maybe we should just keep sharing. Is there anybody else? Oh, yes. Do you maybe want to say that into the mic?
Just to remind the ladies that everybody is in, all the ladies are invited to just come for a coffee and chat in the fellowship room, 7 o'clock tomorrow.
7 o'clock in the evening?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. I thought 7 in the morning is very early. go ahead.
Christian Zacharias here. I am leaving on a three-month German exchange on Wednesday, and your prayers and thoughts would be accepted. Oh, and my sister, but she's not here. Thank you.
Thanks, Christian. Is there anyone else that has something to share? Oh, Gary, also in the front here.
Thanks. Over the last almost 2 years now, I've been on chemo, and it's been working very, very well. I've been very grateful for that, and I'm sure that has something to do with the many prayers that we've received. The chemo has stopped working, and which is not a great thing, but there are other things that they can plug in. So starting tomorrow morning, I'm on a new chemo, not sure exactly how it will interact with my body and physiology, but we'll find out, I suppose. So just, I wasn't going to say anything, but Carol said I was supposed to, so. You're family, right? And we do want to keep you abreast of what's happening, so thank you for your support, your kindness, your friendship that you've offered till now, and really invite your prayers in the future, so thank you very much.
Is there anyone else? I just wanted to highlight that on Easter morning we'll be having our Easter Pascha breakfast, and please bring one Pascha if you're able, and that would be great. And I think we'll continue with singing.
Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and He shall be my people, and walk in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you, and I will be your God. Obey.
Morning. We have another story with a blanket, and I need Mr. White to help me. Maybe you want to go stand on the thing here. Okay, we're going to divide you up into two groups today. We're not covering anyone up. You want to go over there? Okay, can you guys over on this side with me, can you see those guys over there? How about you guys? Can you see these guys over here? Why? What's wrong? There is something blocking. That's right. And today, the grown-ups are going to be hearing about how God takes away the thing that's blocking. So the connection I made with this story was on Good Friday, after Jesus is crucified, there's a part in the story where it says the curtain was ripped in the temple. And I've never really understood that, because do we have a curtain in our church here? No, but a long time ago in the Old Testament times, there was a curtain that kept the people apart from God. And when Jesus was crucified and rose again, the curtain was ripped. And the stories that the grown-ups are going to be hearing today are that that means that there's nothing between us and God anymore. God looks at us and he knows that we sometimes do things that aren't quite right. But you know what? He forgives us, and he also forgets it ever happened. So that's pretty cool. So that's what you need to remember today. And now we can bow for prayer. God, thank you that you forgive our sins and forget them as well. Amen. You guys can go and have fun in Sunday school.
As we move into our time of prayer, let's remember to keep those in hospital and extended care in our prayers. Let's pray. Beloved protector and teacher, we pray that you give strength and comfort to those in our congregation that are unwell, both physically and spiritually. We pray especially for the family of Ed and Adina as they are mourning a loss. And we pray for Gary as he transitions into a different type of treatment and he's unsure of how it will affect him. And we also pray for John Fast, Leonora's brother, as he goes through cancer treatment as well. And we pray for Alyssa and Christian, who are going on an adventure far from home. Please give them wisdom and peace to deal with the unfamiliar things they will encounter. We pray for guidance for ourselves, and that we remember your love is limitless. Forgive us, hold us close, and teach us again to truly love as you love. Amen. Yes.
It's a new song. It's a very old song. It's been in our books for years and years, but we haven't sung it in forever. Maybe we should get John up here. He would know this one.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
For scripture, I'll be reading a few passages. The first is Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbors or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 10. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered and was once made perfect. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Those who love their life will lose it, while those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven, I have glorified it, and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it, and it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken it to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Marv, we invite you up.
Well, it's good to face you once again this morning, this time with a full stomach from last night. You know, so during the time of Lent, we've been using the Revised Common Lectionary list of texts as our starting point for our sermons. Those texts and the resources we have used have had us looking at covenants quite a bit. Now sometimes, and you've heard three of the four lectionary texts read to you this morning, sometimes it's a considerable challenge for the preacher to take the various lectionary texts prescribed for any given week and then to craft a coherent sermon with those texts as a basis. So I trust that my effort at that today will make some sense to you. That's just, it's an interesting challenge. It's not one that, you know, I didn't choose those texts, right? They're chosen for you, and then you've said, yeah, I'm going to work with those, and then you try to make some sense of them together. So I trust that it'll work all right. That's one challenge. Here's another challenge that I thought about recently. At the Mennonite Church Manitoba meetings a few weeks ago, we had a speaker there, quite a good speaker, I thought. And when his talk was over, I thought, what did he say? And I thought to myself, yeah, well, that's how those people think too when they listen to you on a Sunday morning. And you're and you finish up and they're scratching their heads, and what was that about again? So I feel with you. And I trust that God is at work within us as we open up Scripture and as we think about it together, and as I try to explain what I think is best from that and try to make sense out of texts. And I trust that God is at work within us, guiding us and leading us and bringing us together as people here and with Him. So with that, as a bit of an introduction and keeping in mind, we'll pray a few words here. Our God, God who communicates with us, we want to be open to your Spirit as you speak to us and as we listen to what your word has to say. So guide us in that this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in last week's sermon then, we looked at the people of Israel during their time of wandering in the desert before entering the land of Canaan, and we pondered the darkness of human distrust of God that came between God and the people. Ingrid and James have visualized for us this morning things between people and God. And so that serves as a bit of a visual reminder of what we're talking about. The things come between us and God, and that's what we saw last Sunday with God and the people of Israel and the distrust that they demonstrated. So this morning, we jump forward in the history of Israel to the Jeremiah text we read, approximately 1,000 years. Skipping the years of Israel being led by leaders who were called judges over the time of a unified monarchy over Israel, and most of the years of a divided Israel, and arriving almost at the end of the years of monarchy. The covenant idea with the nation of Israel had not worked out very well. God had made agreements with Israel that called on them to worship him alone. If they would worship him, he would bless them, make them great, they would be a blessing, and this all hadn't worked out very well. The nation of Israel stumbled quite regularly, choosing to neglect their worship of God and follow the ways of neighboring nations instead. The situation for Israel, the southern half of the kingdom, had degenerated to the point that God had allowed, I said southern, the northern half of the kingdom, that God had allowed the northern half of the kingdom to be taken captive, to be conquered by Assyria in 722 BCE. Now this morning we've heard the words of the prophet Jeremiah. It seems likely that those words were uttered in about 587 BCE, 135 years after the destruction of the northern half of the kingdom, and about a year before the southern half was to be overrun by Babylon. The words we read in Jeremiah 31 cap a message of restoration that began in Jeremiah 30. You have to read for a couple of chapters there to hear all of it. And the message of restoration seems to have been addressed to both the people of Israel, the northern people who had already been in trouble for 135 years, and the southern part of the kingdom. And remember that they were still to be conquered in the following year. And the message was that God would restore the people of Israel and Judah to their land and would begin to work anew with them. Thus, the words we read from Jeremiah are looking forward, and before they would come into effect, Judah was still going to live in a time of great trouble. And then God would begin something new. In that context, we heard Jeremiah uttering God's promise to make a new covenant. This would not be like the previous covenants God had made with Israel, some of the covenants that we have observed in this Lent series. Those covenants had been with the entire nation. The nation was supposed to follow God, to be faithful, and then God would work with the entire nation. The way that Jeremiah explained this covenant indicated that it would be more individual. God said in Jeremiah that under this new covenant, people would not have to teach each other. Everyone would have the capacity to know God. The motivation to follow this covenant would be internal rather than external. God would be at work in the minds and hearts of people to move them toward faithfulness. This was the covenant that Jeremiah proclaimed. So then we'll leave that covenant as Jeremiah proclaimed it, and fast forward about 650 years to a time approximately 30 years after the death of Jesus. The leaders of the Christian church that had arisen after the death and resurrection of Jesus were figuring out how their new relationship with God, as initiated by Jesus' presence on earth, related to their previous system of relating to God. The book of Hebrews in our New Testament contains a detailed record of that grappling. We read one short piece from that book in our reading this morning. And in that section, the author of Hebrews considers Jesus to be a high priest. Remember that in that Old Testament system, the people of Israel had priests who spoke to God on their behalf. Priests who offered sacrifices of confession to God. Priests that brought the words of praise and thanksgiving from the people to God. And the book of Hebrews suggests that that system is over and done. Jesus had come to take over that role while he was on earth, and then for all time. The book of Hebrews eventually invites all humans to come boldly into communication with God. It sees the possibility that every person of God, that every follower of Jesus Christ can live in communion with God, communicating their own confessions, their pleas for help, their prayers of praise and thanksgiving to God. And that sounds very much like what Jeremiah predicted in that new covenant that he talked about, that God would put into place between himself and the people. So me and you and the covenant new, the title of our sermon today, means that because of the death, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, followers of Jesus could now be in constant direct communication with God. Now, we reverse ourselves chronologically some 30 years to the latter days of Jesus' time on earth and the account from the life of Jesus we read in John chapter 12. Jesus was in the last week of his life on earth. It was the time of festival in Jerusalem. Tourists were present from various parts of the world to observe this time of partying in the city of Jerusalem. And when I think of that scene, when I thought of it, I was taken back in my mind to the time that we lived in Guatemala. And I thought of the ancient city of Antigua. That's what the name means, Antigua in Guatemala. A very old city, a city that during Holy Week saw a lot of people come. And we were there one Holy Week as well. And I thought of all the people in the central plaza, the people milling around, the excitement in the air, the people that were waiting for the Good Friday and Easter celebrations, I suppose you could say. And on Good Friday, the trial, the capture, the trial, and the death of Jesus was enacted. There were people on horseback racing around the plaza. It was something. And then on Easter, the streets were filled with they called them carpets, made out of flowers. Colorful and bright, and the city was full of people, excited, waiting for this event. And I imagine the scene in Jerusalem was like that. And then John tells us in the text that there were Greeks present. These Greeks had heard of Jesus, and they approached someone local named Philip with the comment that they would like to see Jesus. To me, that's a line worth reflecting on, and we used it in our call to worship this morning. We would like to see Jesus. I suggest that there are still many around us, and we're among those who would like to see Jesus. When Jesus heard that these visitors wanted to see him, he pronounced that the hour had come. Now we need to sort that out a little bit. Earlier in Jesus' time, he'd said more than once that the hour had not yet come, and now it had. What does that mean? Was it now the right time because the Greeks were involved? Perhaps it was that Jesus knew that when people from regions far away were learning of Jesus, that he sensed that the time of his end was near. When he said, then following that the hour had come for the Son of Man to be glorified, he was referring to himself, I believe. The Son of Man was a term that he gave to himself on occasion. It was a loaded term for the people of Israel. When the people around him heard those words, they likely thought that Jesus meant that he would now take the mantle of kingship and begin to lead the people of Israel to a great political future. And Jesus meant nothing of the sort. He followed that by immediately speaking of dying. Now, he didn't say clearly that he was anticipating his own death, but he implied it by pointing out to the people that the death of a plant often results in greater production. You know, a plant dies and seeds fall to the ground, and then the next year you have many plants coming from that one. The plant dies and greater production results. And I think Jesus was indicating that it would be because of his death that his message of reconciliation would spread. He reminded the people who were waiting for Israel to be glorified that his message wasn't about Israeli political resurgence. Rather, it called for people to follow him in the new way of love, with a commitment to die if necessary. Now, John followed that discussion with a unique perspective on the prayer of Jesus before his death. I don't know if you thought about it when you heard it read to you, to us. In the other Gospels, and we know the story quite well, I think, that Jesus was praying to God in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested, and Jesus prayed that this event that he was anticipating might be removed from him, that he wouldn't have to go through it. Now here in John, John has Jesus pondering whether he should ask God to deliver him from this hour. And Jesus concluded that that would not be the right prayer. He knew that his purpose on earth would result in his death, and he was ready for that. Instead of asking for something that would benefit him, he prayed that God would glorify his own name. Jesus wanted God to look good, and that was more important to him than what he would have liked. I suspect that points us towards something important in respect to our own prayers. As we pray about the needs and desires that we feel like we have to God, we need to put those needs and desires in submission to what brings glory to God. Then Jesus uttered the words, after he pondered this, that should he pray for deliverance from this or not, after he pondered that, he prayed the words, "Father, glorify your name." And the text tells us that a voice came from heaven. Evidently it was the voice of God saying that God had glorified his name. Jesus told the people around that were gathered there that God had spoken for their benefit. Evidently they were to know that it was time for Jesus to die. He said that he would be lifted up, and in that he would draw humanity to himself. Now we talked about that phrase, lifted up, in our sermon last Sunday. We said that it surely signified the death of Jesus, but that it may also have signified his resurrection. In that great event, the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus would be drawing humanity to himself. Now, we have reached the end of the explanation of our texts for this morning. How do we tie this all together? Now, remember that we began with the idea, with the prediction of a new covenant between God and people, a covenant in which no mediator would be required. There would be nothing between God and humanity that would interfere with relationship and communication. That idea became complete when Jesus died and was resurrected. But we found in our text from John a new kind of between. And that becomes the focus point that I want to emphasize this morning. Remember the Greeks that we saw earlier in the text, in John. There must be something important about them, that they show up in the Gospel of John here. The Greeks in Jerusalem, who wanted to see Jesus. Earlier I suggested that their presence may have indicated to Jesus that his time had come. Now I suggest that the fact that they needed someone to be between them and Jesus is important. Philip and Andrew became the people between the Greeks and Jesus. It is those two who appeared to bring the Greeks to Jesus. I said earlier that I believe people still want to see Jesus. My impression is that many people who have turned their backs on the church and have concluded that this religion thing isn't for them are still interested in Jesus. There is something appealing and drawing about Jesus. After all, John tells us in this text that Jesus said he would draw humanity to himself. And the reminder at the end of this is that people who are interested in Jesus need others to go between. They need to see in others the attraction of following Jesus. And that's where we come in. We who have chosen to follow Jesus are the between people. It is our role to reflect the character of Jesus to the people with whom we come into contact. As we take on the role of reflecting Jesus, people begin to see Jesus. They begin to be drawn toward Jesus. So may we develop our lives to reflect Jesus. And may we develop relationships with people in which we reflect Jesus. We are an important way that people will see Jesus. Let's pray together. Our God, those last words are kind of awesome words. It feels like they put a lot on us. And I suppose they do. But we are your people. We have chosen to follow Jesus. And we wish that our lives would reflect that. May your Spirit inspire us to develop our lives in such ways. May our relationships with others around us be ones in which you are reflected and in which people come to see you. And we want to see you. In Jesus' name.
Seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, He'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but His word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, He'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but His word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side.
with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way.
Let's stand for the benediction. Invite you again to face one another and repeat the words of the benediction after me. We are people of God.
We are people of God.
We go in God's love.
We go in God's love.
To extend God's love.
To extend God's love.
And live God's promise.
And live God's promise.
Let's remain standing and sing the last song.
It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing a song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is fading, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Worship Your holy name, Lord, I worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Worship Your